Yeah, look, happy to. One of the things that, I've used throughout my career is a technical analysis discipline. And so I think price is, price distills everything. Price is truth. So even like, this year as liquidity was sort of rising, but price was breaking down, that was a very clear signal that liquidity, in as much as how it's held or how it's related to price in previous cycles, had deteriorated. And I ran regressions on this as well. And I was actually publishing this in research in Q3 that if you look at Bitcoin over the cycles, the relationship to global liquidity and various subsets of liquidity metrics that people tend to use, like global M2, but I use global liquidity, which is a culmination of several different liquidity metrics, but they kind of tell the same story. The problem is that relationship has been deteriorating over the years, especially since 2022. Interestingly, in that very same period, the Nasdaq, which is also highly correlated, all risk assets are correlated to global liquidity, which makes total sense, but the Nasdaq correlation has actually been increasing. So, you don't even have to get caught up in too much of the narratives. You can just say statistically that global liquidity in this cycle has related to a higher or a stronger relationship with Nasdaq or tech stocks. And of course, we would argue that that's because AI came along and was so strong and such a transformative, the most transformative technology in the world. Yeah, of course it did. But like statistically, you can prove that out as well. And the elasticity is also another way of measuring it as well. So for every new dollar of liquidity, how much has that traditionally impacted the Bitcoin price? And so that was used to be, it ranged from around sort of 7 times to even up to 20 times in raging bull markets like 2017. But that collapsed in this cycle as well. And it's down considerably. In fact, it's the lowest it's ever been. And that's, clear because Bitcoin is down 50%, global liquidity is at all-time highs. So, the price is the ultimate sort of guide if you're trying to tactically invest in the asset and ignore the long-term trajectory of the asset. But you can see here that I've built this up trading indicator. I just call it Trend Chameleon because it just simplifies a couple of momentum and trend indicators into colors. Pretty simple to sort of observe, but you can see that, we are in a strong bear trend on the weekly chart. And I use the weekly chart because that's just a better gauge for the inflection points of like structural or cyclical turns. And it worked really well in the last cycles. It was the cornerstone of what I was using in 2022. That called the bottom in December of 2022. And so we've got that plus an RSI on the bottom as well. And RSI very rarely dips below 30 on the weekly, except near lows, but not always at the low. And I pointed this out in, the February research when we hit that capitulation low was that, yes, we've dipped below on the RSI and, that is a level that will get a lot of people interested, as will the 200-week moving average, which is now touching, as a level to get interested. And yes, that's why I say it's in the accumulation zone, but typically, Bitcoin tends to take, more time to resolve after that first flush down. There's usually a second flush. And I think we're in that play right now, especially when you consider that, you've got a lot of refinancing to do that's going to need more liquidity. And we've got a Fed that wants to shrink the balance sheet. So, we've got all those things to contend with.
Hey, guys, I'm thrilled to share my new book, The Bitcoin Enlightenment, co-authored with Mexican billionaire Ricardo Salinas. Make sure you grab your copy now and learn about how one of the richest people in all of Latin America thinks about Bitcoin. You'll find the link in the show notes.
Yeah, the RSI is a very interesting tool to use. I mean, that's what you were saying. I heard other people point this out as well, that usually like you have this low on the RSI and then you have a Bitcoin low, but then Maybe price can even go lower, like, but then the RSI might just put in a lower high, you know, at that point, even though the price, again, as you mentioned, might even go lower than it was on the first low with the RSI. And then, but that would all be already be sort of a bullish divergence then, right? Pointing to some sort of exhaustion price-wise or market-wise, which could be interpreted as bullish. And on the other side, again, you can also have these bearish divergences. Is that also the way you're looking at at that?
Yeah, I mean, it's evident in the price structures of the previous lows that there was a huge flush down and then either a retest or a new low, but corresponding with a higher low on the RSI. And the RSI is just like momentum has like an upper and lower limit. So when you're looking at it in a relative perspective, like, The rate of change can't continue to go in the same direction forever. It starts to moderate, and that's what the RSI is picking up. So price can do what it can do. It can extend, it can go further, but in terms of the veracity of that move, losing strength or losing some of its thrust, for lack of a better word, it doesn't say that's the bottom, that's the inflection point, but it's a signal, it's a sign that the sellers are getting exhausted. And so you can see that the RSI here is still, you know, much higher than where it was in February, but we're right at those lows. So I would like to think that this would be a normal sort of bear market formation, a bear market low formation, where we do get a bullish divergence on the RSI with a, you know, a lower low on a Bitcoin from here. And that would be typically normal. And it would be like the first sign of a setup for a reversal, because the ability for the market to push as hard as it did in February to a new low is weakening. And then you use other things on the other side on the way up. Now, this is a weekly chart, so it's going to miss the low by 20, 25% typically, because it's a very slow moving momentum indicator. But you can, you know, drill down into the dailies to see that play out if you want to sort of try to be a bit more technical, but you get a lot more whips in that indicator. So I tend to use different time frames together, but I certainly wouldn't use this in isolation. I've got exhaustion indicators like DeMarc and various other ones that I've built that, you know, put together, give me at least a higher probability, you know, trade when the cycle does turn. And some of those are on-chain data as well, and futures data. So I'll show you this as well, Pascal, because, I mean, whether you're looking at MVRV, you know, the pure multiple, perps, open interests, the long-term holder, SOPRA, the whatever, there's a bunch of them, right? And I just use, you know, Z-scores on all that data to try and normalize it. We're definitely in this zone where typically, if you've got like a 2-year view, 18 months to 2-year view, generally, you've done really, really well in these levels, but you know, we try to overthink it.
That's great. I mean, these indicators just give a full picture. Like, people obviously now ask the question as well. Like, yeah, I get it. You know, price can potentially move lower. I'm maybe even positioned for this, but then how low can it actually go? You know, and obviously nobody knows. But like, if we look to prior cycles, or if we confront some of the models that you're using here, what would they tell you? Is there any indication like, okay, this could be where the lower low could be at, you know, price-wise? Is there something you can point to, like a zone of confluence or like price-wise?
Yeah, look, I haven't done enough work on that, actually, to be honest. But look, if we looked at previous bears, and everyone will quote the nominal percentage drawdown, which, you know, like as the 4-year cyclists were kind of right in a very sort of, you know, let's face it, it's a pretty simplistic dumb model that really shouldn't work.
Given
the change of the market structure and the players and everything else. But it did.
Yet it does.
You can say that, right? Well, the drawdowns have been sort of 75 to 80% prior, so that's where we should look. But then, if you look at the volatility of the asset, the volatility has compressed. So the 50% decline that we're in today is definitely of the of the magnitude of previous bear markets if you volatility adjust it, but that doesn't mean that it can't go lower and give us the same nominal. But if I had to guess, I think, you know, if we break this sort of 58 level, I think lower 50s is where you'll find the real support, like the should be a, you know, a market low around then. But look, if Saylor's dumping Bitcoin in unsized and he's not able to find the other side of that and is going to market on it, then, you know, it's the thing that we didn't, you know, most people didn't anticipate, like FTX in 2022, right? That just pushed it below, I think, what was a natural support level at sort of like 18,000-19,000 and pushed it down to 16,500 very quickly. And it, you know, that was the ultimate low. But that the trending indicators will tell you when, because they'll start to break out on the other side. So, you know, it's kind of like trying to catch a falling knife right now.
I mean, that's exactly it. You know, a lot of people are asking themselves this question because they're looking at these models as well and they're coming to a similar conclusion than you do. Like, okay, you know, it looks like Bitcoin is already at the lower price target. It's in very favorable territories right now. So it shouldn't, historically speaking, go any lower from here, or not that much lower. But then again, people look to the macro sphere, you know, they look at what's happening with strategy. They're looking at, as I say, macro, and they're like, okay, but there could still be some headwinds, you know, coming our way. And what would Bitcoin do if the traditional market, which looks kind of toppy as well? Some people say, you know, maybe if the AI trade slows down, and then what if it corrects another 20%? Will we find it in the 40s, in the 30s? And so, yeah, I mean, that's the trillion-dollar question. So how do you think about this? And maybe can you point us to some of the headwinds that you were already mentioning in the beginning, you know, with the AI and the refinancing wall? And yeah, maybe you can talk to this as well, because I know you've prepared some slides for this as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that the market structure is evolving.